Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
One more time, let's go to Him in prayer.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, there's no one above you. Lord, you've been doing things beyond we ask or even think. Make us people who invite you into our lives and everything we do. Lord, guide us, lead us, bless us, help us, forgive us, show mercy. Let us be bold when we ask you for the things we need to supply our needs in our lives and everything we do. Give us grace of obedient heart, humble, not full of ourselves, but full of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Walk with us, talk with us, smile upon us, so we can show people that we're smiling because we've got the hand of the Lord upon us. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Here you go, Mama. Thank you. Yesterday, we were out in the community, everywhere. We were in nursing homes. We were at laundromats. We were at the police station. We were at the fire chief stations. We were at the EMTs. We were at the soccer field. We were literally all over the place yesterday, making much of Jesus. We call it Second Mile Loves MoCo Day. MoCo stands for what? Montgomery County, yes. And we're just doing things to give people I don't know how to describe it any better than this, a tangible piece of evidence that Jesus loves you and we do too. And so we had over 100 folks out in the community yesterday, as best as I could count. And so I told, we met for prayer here before we went out. And so I told our folks, you're going to have an opportunity tomorrow morning to give a short testimony of what you saw God doing and how God touched people through your efforts. And so I've got a microphone. Thomas is somewhere. Thomas, you get another one, and that way we can do this quicker. If you served yesterday during MoCo Day, and you've got a short testimony, now's the time to do that. Who's got one? There's one right back. Okay, go ahead.
So I was with the military outreach at Fort Campbell, so. We went around, and I was amazed sometimes the soldiers didn't want prayer or didn't know how to stop, because when we're in uniform, we're stoic. We kind of don't get emotional or get personal. So it's important to remind them that God is with you in all times, when we're serving, when we're in our civilian mode. So it was nice to hear some people stop focusing on their duty, if they were on staff duty, if they were at the USO, and take a break to think about their families, their safety, and all the blessings that God has for them to be thankful for.
Amen. All right. This is Sheila Cunningham. She and Ron headed up one of our ministry teams.
Ready for me?
Yes.
Okay, so we did not plan this to be a two-day event, and God is absolutely in these details.
There we go.
Okay. We didn't plan for it to be a two-day event, and God was in the details here. Midweek last week, Bach asked if we could adjust our plans and come on Friday. So y'all are fantastic, and we were able to pull together to get to Bach on Friday. And that opened up the opportunity for us to meet the chain of command there, to pray with the chaplain and with the people there at Bach. And we adjusted because God gave us the opportunity to say yes and go serve on a day that might not have been convenient for us. And then on that day, we were able to meet the chaplain who's over the soldier recovery unit. And he asked us, do you have time to come to the unit? And we said, yes. And we were able to go over there and find out that the leadership in that unit was having a really tough week. Four soldiers that were stationed at Fort Liberty that are in that program attempted suicide, and one was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And we were able to pray with that leadership there. I think Susan and I, we were like, that was the biggest blessing. It was unexpected, and it was because we took the opportunity to say yes and to serve, and we were so blessed because I was a little stressed out about what was going to happen on Saturday, and we had Alex, and we had Bobby and Derek, and they stepped up, and they went out on post with us, and we were able to go into barracks and see soldiers and pray for them and just tell them that we love them and Jesus loves them and invite them to check us out online, come visit us in person. But it was... we were all pumped on some of Jesus adrenaline yesterday, y'all.
Amen. We also got a commander's certificate of appreciation presented to Second Mile Church. I'll leave this up here and y'all can look at it after worship. Who's next? JD, you're way back over there, all right? Yes, he does. Y'all forget we're online. People are listening to us, and they're not here. So that's why we do this.
I figured I'd meet you halfway.
Thank you.
We had the opportunity yesterday to go out to Heritage Park with soccer fields. We had some Bibles. We had some armbands. I got one on. And we had stickers and stuff, and we were ministering to the people at the soccer field. There was four adults. There was five girls. God used those girls in a mighty way. They reached out. They were not afraid. They were bold. And, you know, we had several families that would just walk past. You know when you're trying to ignore something, like you're running from Jesus, okay? Well, they were walking a long ways away from us, okay? And they would not turn around when we would ask them, can we give you a sticker? Can we give you an armband? A lot of the families, we told them, hey, these are free. And they made a U-turn and came back, okay? But whatever hook God uses to where he can get his message out, and these girls showed God, showed his love to the community out there. We were put off in a corner. We were not really readily accessible to the crowd. We were off, and we just had a few that came by. But we gave out, I know of four Bibles, okay? Two New Testaments and two of those story books that Greg had brought, and probably 500 plus armbands, okay, wristbands. God's good.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Right over here. Quickly.
Mr. Bill and myself, we went out to three laundromats yesterday, and when you do that, you get to get one-on-one with a lot of people, and we hugged some, we prayed with some, and we laughed with some. But real quick, what stood out to me was I saw how people need help. One man named Henry came in the laundromat with his chainsaw. He was going to have to go to the pawn shop and pawn it to pay bills. One lady at a laundromat just lost her husband and has two kids, and she said she was looking for a church, but she's got to work on Sundays. And then one lady, you may know Pastor Cal, was from Abundant Life Church, and she wanted us to pray for her pastor who's ill. I'm not sure what's wrong, but overall, we had a good day. Amen. And came home, and Laura even clipped my toenails for me.
Oh, mercy.
I would never do that. I just want to say that I didn't go out in the community, but I helped Katie's group over there at his works, and we pulled a bunch of weeds and little trees and stumps and rocks, and we found a little nest of baby kittens while we were up there. What we did do, we are working on a building that's going to be serving a lot of people and allow more people to come to our church. And I wanted to say something, how much I enjoyed I like working outside anyway, but I like working with the people in our church. I think it's so much fun to go out together, and you get to meet, you get to see a side of them that you don't maybe see in church, and a good side, Brother Cal, and both places. But anyway, if you've never volunteered to work with other people in a group like this, you're really missing out. It's a lot of fun, and I just thank you for letting us do that, Brother Cal.
Amen. We've got a couple more minutes here.
The Manna Cafe, and we had our team, so we weren't in amongst other people, but we had these pallets of food to organize. And these ladies, you just give us a pallet of food, we're going to have that organized in about 10 minutes. And then, you know, we were just slamming and rocking and stepping on boxes. Then we made baskets or bags of food for like the fuel team, easy open snacks for small children. Well, these ladies were like, well, where's the fruit? Well, this is just a bunch of junk. We can't have this. And so we were going back through, and we'd put so much in each bag and everything. And it was just so wonderful to be with my sisters in Christ and the love and just know that this was going to honor Jesus. And that's what we want to do. And it was just wonderful, wonderful morning. Thank you.
Everly? All right, we got time for short.
I like to talk. I also was at Manna Cafe, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of our group that helped. We actually outworked the folks. They didn't have any more supplies for us. And I just wanted to say that when God's at work, it shows. The gentleman that was helping us, he was actually very surprised that we had so many bags that we had created for these young folks. And at the very end, Terry said a very humbling prayer, and I think it really touched and humbled the gentleman that was directing us in that group. So even though we weren't amongst the public, we still were able to touch lives and hearts.
Glory to God. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? We got time for one more. Oh. He's the closest. All right.
I was in charge of the cooking team yesterday, and we had so many people working with the cooking team. We didn't see anybody. We just stayed back there where the grill was at. But the biggest blessing for us was Cheryl and Michael Lankford. They delivered, I'm guessing, close to 200 lunches yesterday, or right, or real close to it. And they went to all the EMSs, the fire departments, the police stations. I think they delivered 50 plate lunches to the sheriff's department. And that was a blessing. Every time they'd come back, we'd load them up and they'd go again. And I want to thank everybody that was involved in MoCo Day yesterday. Yesterday was a true blessing. A lot of times you see people at church and you don't actually get to talk to them. Yesterday we was one-on-one talking to people that we don't normally talk to. And I got to know a lot of people yesterday that I don't normally have an opportunity to talk to. And that was a true blessing right there. Thank you.
All right. We had a free car wash out on Madison Street. I know Taryn had some ladies here to write cards and letters of encouragement to people. And it was just a fantastic day of lifting up Jesus in our community. And so those of you that weren't able to be involved with us yesterday, we got another one coming. Good. Not anytime soon, but it'll be, yeah. Katie heads up our missions and evangelism efforts on our church council, and she's the one, along with some others, that helped put yesterday together. So let's give Jesus a great big hand of praise. All right, it's 9:41. The Holy Spirit's going to give me about 19 minutes. All right. I'm going to do something that's really going to tear some of y'all to pieces. Last night, actually yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, God began to speak to my heart. He spoke to you. God still speaks to people, folks. And so we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit here this morning. And we're going to scrap the message that I had all spent. Y'all, I spent about 12 to 15 hours a week on a Sunday morning sermon. And so I'm out of my comfort zone this morning, okay? Because I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. But I felt like God wanted me to leave our theme for the year and do something else, okay? So those of you that have printed up outlines and those of you that have got the stuff on the online, you know, I apologize, but we're going to do what the Spirit of the living God tells us to do here. That's one of the reasons we don't hand out an order of worship. Because some people get so tied to that stinking oil. Well, anyways. If you've got a Bible, here's what I believe God wants me to talk about this morning. And it's in Romans. Romans chapter 10. Very familiar verses. But this is what God led me to this morning. And this will be short and sweet. But I believe this is what God wants us to look at this morning. Romans chapter 10, if you'll look at verse 9, and when you find verse 9, stand as we honor God's word. Are you there?
Amen.
All right, listen to verse 9, Romans chapter 10. That if you, what's that next word?
Amen.
Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. David Fry, ask God to bless this word, would you? Amen. Please be seated. All right. Why do we do things like MoCo Day? Second Mile loves MoCo Day. Why do we do things like that? Why do we send kids to camp and Hearts on Fire? Why do we have children's ministries? Why do we go out in the community and partner with groups like Mother to Mother? Why are we out in the? Why do we do what we do here? Boy, we're in a Pentecostal church today. Hallelujah. We're here to make disciples. Okay? Now, in order to have a disciple, what's got to take place first? Somebody's got to get saved. Somebody's got to come to faith in Christ. Somebody's got to be born again. And so for the next couple of minutes, I want to talk to you just real quickly about Salvation 101. Okay? Salvation 101. If you're taking notes, I'll give you a couple, two or three points to write down. But anyways, now, when you say that he or she got saved, we're not talking about a button or a function on your phone or your laptop or your tablet. Okay? We're talking about when somebody gets saved, you are saved from something, to someone. Okay? And so there's been such an easy believism preached about salvation for so many years. Our churches are filled up with lost people. Folks, there's so much more than just walking an aisle and giving your hand to the preacher and saying, come on in. That's what we've done for the last 50 years. And many of our churches have lost folks on their rolls. And so this morning, here's the first thing I want to say to you. We must confess the Lordship of Jesus with our life. We must confess the Lordship of Jesus with our life. Where'd you get that? right out of verse 9. Let's read it one more time. That if you confess with your what? The Lord Jesus. Does it say anything about saviorhood? No. It's talking about lordship. The word confess means to say the same thing as or to agree. Okay? But in the Bible, when a biblical confession took place, the person who confessed accepted what they were confessing, believed what they were confessing, and lived what they were confessing. Y'all with me so far? Yeah, anybody can say Jesus is Lord. That's right. But only someone who confesses faith in Christ and Christ alone and has accepted that confession and believes that confession and lives by that confession, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3 says, can be only given by the Holy Spirit. And so just because somebody confesses that Jesus is Lord does not mean that they're necessarily saved. But it's the first part. You have to be willing to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about what that looks like, okay? Now, we don't use the word Lord today. Not here in this part of the world. But for Jesus to be Lord, what you're basically saying is He's in charge of everything. He's in control of my life. Y'all with me? And so in biblical days, sometimes, you know, Rome was in charge when in your New Testament. They were over the whole world at that time. And what they did was a lot of places, what we might call the downtown square, they would build and erect a statue of Caesar, and they would have a little small altar there. From time to time, the citizens of that city would have to go down to the altar, down to the downtown square before that big statue of Caesar, and throw some incense on the altar and say, Caesar is Lord. Well, if Jesus is Lord, how can Caesar be Lord? And so a lot of Christians and believers in that day, because of their confession of Jesus Christ as Lord of their life, man, they got in trouble with the Roman government. Some of them were imprisoned. Some of them were beaten, persecuted. Some of them lost their jobs. Some of them were even burned alive at a stake or killed or stoned. And so it was a big thing to confess Jesus as Lord. And sometimes it required their lives. Does that look like biblical salvation here in this place today? I'm asking y'all. And here's the deal. We're not perfect. We're not. But not, God's not looking. He's looking right here. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord and do not what I say? You see, our lips need to line up with our life. Your life ought to line up with what your lips are saying. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Does He have control of your life? Is He over? Are you living for what you say you believe? Our behavior ought to point to what we believe. Come on now. Man, I love y'all enough to give you the gospel truth. If Jesus is Lord, my life changes and looks quite a bit different than what it used to look like. Now, there's a fine tension in your New Testament with those biblical authors and writers with grace and works. You can say what you want to. I believe in salvation by grace through faith. But if I'm truly born again, I have a salvation that works. And so your life ought to be different today than it was when you made that first confession. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, so you got to confess the lordship of Jesus with your life, not just your lips, not just your mouth. You got to live like it. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about your heart's got to be coated with that stuff, with integrity and honor and glory and love for the Lord. All right? And by the way, it's a healthy thing to examine your salvation from time to time. Yes, the Bible says to do that. Yes. Here's the second thing I want to get to. Ooh, mercy. We not only confess the lordship of Jesus with our mouth, we confirm the resurrection of Jesus with our heart. Where'd you get that? Right out of the scripture. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are you living the resurrected life? If Jesus is alive, how can we live like we're dead? They call Jesus Lord 747 times in the Gospels. They called him Savior 10 times. And the great piece of evidence is that you made a real confession that you were truly born again, is that your heart was changed. Because your heart believes. Someone has said it real well. The distance between heaven and hell, listen to this, distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches from right here to right there. That's truth. Confess. Confirm. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is alive? The resurrection, brothers and sisters, is the crucial factor of our faith. It's the game. It changes everything. And if you have believed with your heart, you're living a resurrected life. Because he lives in you. His bones are not in some grave. He's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. I heard about how alive he is just a minute ago from all these testimonies. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man, it's what separates us from every other religion. Okay? Adrian Rogers said, if your religion hadn't changed you, you need to change your religions. Because he's alive, and he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Jesus wrote the check for our sins on the cross. And the empty tomb is the evidence that he cashed that check. Maybe y'all will get it. Jesus wrote the check for our sin on the cross. And the empty tomb proves that he cashed that check. He's alive forevermore. Do you believe that in your heart? Now, you may be sitting here, and it's possible to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin. It's possible to believe that he lived a perfect, sinless life. It's possible to believe that he died on a cross. It's possible to believe that he was resurrected. It's possible to believe that he's coming again and still be lost as last year's Easter egg. Because even the demons believe all that. You see, we're talking about a life change here, brothers and sisters. What does it say there in verse 10? Watch this, listen to this. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Not my righteousness, but his righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Aren't you glad Jesus cashed that check? Woo, glory. And so there's the second question. Have you confirmed the resurrection with your heart? Confession, confirmation. And here's the last one. Have you claimed the salvation of Jesus with joy? What does it say? And you what? Shall be? Guess so, hope so, maybe so, I think so, I dreamt so, huh? No. Says shall be. And then jump down to verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Y'all, the second fruit of the Spirit that God gives to his people and grows into his people is joy. I'm not talking about your circumstances. or your situations that you get, because that depends, that's where happiness begins and ends. I'm talking about joy, real joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you have that joy? I'm not talking about jumping up and down and waving. I'm just talking about real joy. And if you've got that real joy, every now and then it shows up. And some of y'all, bless God, need to notify your face. Makes me wonder. I mean, you look at the life of Jesus. Man, he was filled with joy. Kids used to run to him. They loved to be around him. Say joy with me.
Joy.
Man. Now, I got to close this down. Help me, Jesus. There's two kind of groups here this morning. Just two. There's a group here this morning, and there's been no change in your life. No real change, no spiritual growth. You're lost, and you probably know it. Because somebody gave you a watered-down version of what the gospel is. And you're lost. I want to tell you what. There wouldn't be a legion of demons keep me from coming to Jesus this morning. Amen. You've been prayed for. You don't want to go to hell. Hello? You do not want to go there. And brothers and sisters, listen to your pastor. Good Baptists go to hell. We're just good enough to miss heaven and make hell. What you need is Jesus. His righteousness. Okay? So there's that group that's here this morning. And then there's another group that's here. You're probably saved and you know it. You've got the fruits of the Spirit in your life. It's evident. Well, I've come here today to tell y'all, it is our responsibility to tell folks how they need to confess the Lordship of Jesus with their life, how they need to confirm the resurrection of Jesus with their heart, and how they need to claim the salvation of Jesus with joy. And there ought to be an altar here, just an altar full of folks like that. We need God's help. By the way, the first piece of winning somebody to faith in Christ is prayer. Prayer. That's the best evangelistic tool you got. And brother, when you get the Holy Spirit of God involved in that, man, great things happen. Hallelujah. Let's all bow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an altar call for all the saved people. If you've got somebody on your heart that's lost today, I ask that you just bring them literally to Jesus here at this altar. And let's pray for our loved ones and our friends to come to faith in Christ. I don't care if we've got four deep up here. And then the first crowd I talked about, if you know you're lost today and you know your life hasn't been changed, you don't have the Spirit of Almighty God in you, here's what you need to do. You need to repent. And the word repent means a change of the mind, a change of the will. It means that you're so sorry for your sin, that sin's ever before God, that you turn to Jesus as your only means of forgiveness. And you ask Him, by faith, to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and receive Him. Invite Him into your heart and life as the Lord of your life. Turn control of things over to Him, and guess what? He will save you right where you sit. And then you need to go public with that decision. There's no such thing as private believers in your Bible. And we ask that you do that by coming forward. Nobody's going to embarrass you, ask you to sing or preach or anything like that. We want to rejoice with you and pray with you. And then we're going to give you some stuff to take home with you to get you started right. We're going to set up a time to talk about some times to get you baptized. That's the first thing a new believer ought to do. So I want to pray for you right now. Father, there are people here in the church today that need Jesus. Thank you for bringing them here so that they could hear the truth. And I ask God right now that they would pray a sinner's prayer like this. God, I'm a sinner, and I've made a mess of things, and I need Jesus to make me right with you, Father. And so I want to turn from my sin and receive what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross and in the grave. And I turn control of my life over to you. You're my Lord. Please, God, forgive me and save me right here. I'm going to live for you by your strength and your power from here on out. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed like that, just look right up here at me. Just look right up here at me. Look at me. Amen. Anybody else? Just look right up here at me. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. What I'm going to ask you folks to do is just to step out and come forward. And we're going to rejoice with you. Not going to embarrass you. We're going to line you up with one of our deacons. And they'll get some things in your hands, in your new life with Christ. And we'll rejoice and praise God for your salvation this morning. And then the rest of you need to bring that lost loved one to the altar. And so, Father, right now, set us free. Set us free, God. Give those that have prayed to receive Christ the love and the courage that they need right now to take their stand for Jesus Christ. Don't let them live any longer for the ways of this world and the evil one and under his attack. Give them victory today, God. Save their souls. And Lord, many of us have loved ones who are lost and undone. And God, we're going to bring them to you at this old-fashioned altar and ask God that you would use us to present the plan of salvation to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Andrew's going to lead us. Let's all stand. Those of you that prayed to receive Christ, just step out and come right now. I'll be here at the front to receive you. Others that need to come pray, you come on. Don't wait. Just come on.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.